on Ricky C. How about a hand for the guy behind the scenes, Richard Caccioni? Ricky C. How about a hand for Ricky C? He's my main man. I don't get to bring him up here too often. An excellent singer-songwriter in his own thing. That's the thing. Caccioni. I love them Italians. I got to be honest with you. I grew up in Syracuse, New York. Very Italian area, and I'm not Italian myself, as I said, but many of my best friends, it's a culture that I just understand, what presses their buttons. My friend Pete, who pops up in a lot of my songs, he's Bobby in When Bobby Comes Down, and he's Frank in They Robbed a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and recently, a lot of stuff have happened to Pete. It has nothing to do with nothing. What if my spine just turned to rubber? You know what I mean? Just like some. But I got to tell you something that just happened to my friend Pete. Because now Pete was one of five Catholic Italian kids that when he was 11 years old, his mother embezzled $10,000 from the bank that she worked at, and then she moved to Harlem with an African-American guy, okay? So this, needless to say, put the family in a tizzy. When Pete was 12, he started shooting heroin and got into a life of petty crime. Now, the good news is Pete's been sober for 15 years, and he counsels kids on drug addiction and violence, and they love him. He's like a Mr. T. He's a tough son of a bitch. He's got gold chains and fucking sideburns, but no hair. Like he had a mohawk for years, like Mr. T. But then he started going bald, and then I started calling it a no-hawk. And he got pissed, and then he shaved it. The next time I saw him, he was bald, and he was like, anyway. But he's a guy that can make me laugh. Now that Bill Hicks is dead, he can make me laugh like no other human being on the planet. He just knows how to push my fucking buttons. He's just fucking hysterical. So needless to say, his relationship with his mother throughout his life, and all the petty crimes and all the shit that we did as kids, because we were just nuts, was on and off, a roller coaster ride. When I lived in Brooklyn, we used to go up to Harlem visit her and stuff. Recently, just before Christmas, she took very, very ill. It was obvious she was going to die, and she moved back to Syracuse. They put her in a hospital. Pete came up from Florida, where he currently lives with his brother, Louis, and he didn't live with Louis, it was his wife, but Louis came up, his brother, and Teresa, and the three of them sort of waited by the bedside as the mother was in and out of consciousness. And at one point, having been there for about a week waiting with her, just prior to Christmas, Teresa says, I'm going to go get coffee. So she leaves, and she's gone, and the mother wakes up and says, you kids, I want you to know I've made a lot of mistakes. I know that, but I love you, and I hope you'll forgive me. And she says goodbye. Well, she dies. So Teresa comes back with the coffee and says, what's up? And Pete says, well, Mom just woke up and said, please forgive her. She knows she's made mistakes, but she loves us kids. And she said goodbye. And Teresa was like, wow, I wish I could have been here. What a poignant, wonderful, profound moment. So Pete took his mom's dead hand and said,
goodbye, Teresa. I hope you forgive me. I love you.
When he told me this, I laughed so fucking hard I pissed my pants. And think about this. This is like Dostoevsky and its fucking levels of catharsis and forgiveness and humor. This is big. This is big. So over the Christmas holidays, there's certain people in my family, a little bit older than me, a little more conservative. It's my sister. I spent Christmas, and I told this story. This did not go over. This was like the parent, you know, when I talk about the parents of the friends. This did not go over. They didn't think it was. I thought this is so fucking funny. I'd be driving around. I'd have to pull over. I was laughing so hard. So I called Louis, and I said, Louis, this is like day before Christmas. I said, Louis, Pete just told me the story about your mother. He goes, well, actually, Ed, there's a little more to the story. He goes, I got up and said, Mom, I was never able to beat you in thumb wrestling when you were alive. And thumb wrestled her and said, best out of three. So now, a couple weeks ago, I've been telling this show, we're doing a DVD shooting here, okay, for this show. So I said, what a great story to tell him. So I've been telling it, right? So I got a call about 2 weeks ago, and I'm driving, Detroit's in the back. We're driving around. I'm saying, I pick it up, and it's Pete. He goes, Ed. I said, yeah. He goes, are you telling that story about my mother on stage? And I'm like, uh-oh. So I pull over, right? I go, yeah, actually, I didn't know that it wasn't fair game, because he tells me shit, and we just assume it's fair game that I can write about it. And he goes, well, I told Teresa that I wouldn't tell anybody.
I said, well, I said, can I use it for this show? He goes, yeah, he's okay. He goes, are you going to put in the part about the rigor mortis? I'm like, I don't think I know the part of the bigger about the rigor mortis. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I put her hand like this. Just before rigor mortis so she could say, fuck you to the world forever.